Waging War on Corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Well, I told you that we learned from internal documents 6 months ago when PayPal, after 20 years in business with us, banned us, that we had been listed as international terrorists. It's a hazard or danger designation. That means you're a convicted murderer, child trafficker, child molester, international terrorist, criminal. And now you saw 8 days ago, Facebook banned myself, Paul Watson, from people even talking about us in a positive light, saying that we're, quote, dangerous. And they listed in the same order what I got internally from what's filed by private corporations into Interpol and the banks. So this is the whole future for everyone. Actual governments and corporations terrorizing people with perfect credit scores and no criminal records. The end of due process, the end of free speech. They are the terrorist when they do this. And it is just incredible how they build the pretext on a fake article about an anti-Semitic article we supposedly posted. Then you read it and it says, oh, 4% of the comments were anti-Semitic. So by that yardstick, anybody could just randomly go to your Facebook post, type a few anti-Jew comments in, and you'd be banned from the internet, banned from banking, banned from life. There's no judge, there's no jury, there's no executioner. These aren't private companies. These are multinational combines working in unison to defraud people of their basic rights. And it's going to come to an end. It's going to be defeated. Worldwide, there's what they're calling a constitutional convention with Zuckerberg, with the whole world weighing in right now on what Zuckerberg and free speech is supposed to look like in the future. And because our government and our Congress and the American people aren't weighing in on this and saying no, because we're buying the Heritage Foundation statement of it's a private company, we've created a vacuum where the Chi-Coms and the EU and the leftists in Hollywood can come in and can create their own system and obliterate free speech. And you're watching it happen right now in front of everyone. And it's ahead of big events that are already taking place and set to take place. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time today on the draconian, out of control, historically massive, coordinated censorship that's going on. I'm going to get into just the other crises unfolding and taking place around the world. But here it even is in CNBC. YouTube and its users face an existential threat from the EU's new copyright directive. And their directive is everything has to be pre-approved by the EU before you show it. Well, that's impossible. Ends free speech. It's prior restraint. Matt Drudge came here 3.5 years ago and warned specifically of this because that was the plan told to him by a Supreme Court justice that had been briefed about what the EU was planning. Instead of America saying no to this, we just go, oh, EU, you're the boss. Or Chi-Coms, you're the boss. We'll let this happen. So big tech is deciding to fall to world government. And remember, Obama wanted to turn the internet over to the UN. His last year in office was only partially done. That's what this really all is. And the globalists have very intelligently instead made it about censoring a few nationalist, populist, right-wing figures who have rung the alarm about this, who have raised the alarm, who have been at the forefront of exposing the system. And so they demonize us to try to create a false image of us, and then they move forward to make the issue about censoring us, who've now been, through alchemy, transformed from patriots into devils in the minds of some. And then while the general public's hiding like sheep or a school of fish, hoping they're not the next to be grabbed, everyone's losing their rights at the same time. It's diabolical, but it's the way tyranny works. But we're not going to cover that when we come back. No, my friends, the crisis in the Middle East with Iran, the aircraft carriers, the weapons massing, how that ties into other geopolitical issues, how it ties into the trade war with China, and so much more. We're covering that first. World in Crisis on the other side.
answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
You can feel it. You can see it. You can scientifically quantify it. It's the animating contest of liberty. It's taking place and it's happening right now. It's Sunday, May 12th, 2019. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're live and broadcasting worldwide. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm very honored to have you joining us. I know a lot of you have to jump through hoops to find us. There's a lot of censorship and authoritarianism taking place as there's an ongoing civil war in the West to try to take our countries back from the unelected globalist, Chi-Com-financed world government. But when we win and when we succeed, and we are, and we will completely win in the end, that's how it always works, we will then count the score. But now we just press forward. Okay. There have been massive developments on the Russiagate front, and folks know that I'm sick of Russiagate. I've been in the middle of Russiagate for 3 years. It's a total fraud the way the Democrats have pushed it and said it, but they themselves have been up to their eyeballs in it. And now as it comes out that Joe Biden and others sold out to Russia, sold out to China, sold out to Ukraine, and have been caught in all of the hand in the cookie jar, open and shut case, caught red-handed, information has come out, they are getting really, really scared. That's coming up next segment. And then people like Schiff, the House Intelligence Committee Chairman, Adam Schiff, has the gall, I'll cover this next segment, to come out and say you cannot investigate any Democrats for Ukraine or Russia or China, because if you noticed, almost every top Democrat, a lot of them involved in this, that's the Democratic Party, is a globalist, anti-American, sell America out party. I mean, that's America was never great, it'll never be great. All of them have been complicitly involved in the cover-up. Except maybe the congresswoman out of Hawaii or Beto. So they don't know what to do. And I guess AOC. But most of them have been. And so Schiff is now saying that no one can investigate a Democrat for anything because it's election time. And that's election meddling. And that's for political purposes. While the Democrats have launched, they said it was going to be 22 in new investigations. It's 12 so far with all of the subpoenas and all the harassment. So you talk about waging war on reality, common sense, beyond hypocrisy. We're going to go after all of you politically on things that you've been found not guilty of, but you can't investigate anything we're doing because it would be political when we have them dead to rights. The arrogance of these individuals is only outpaced by their evil. And of course, that's just because they've been living in a free country so long that their crimes have gone unpunished. They believe that they are free the bounds of reality and free the bounds of justice, but they're not. You know, it's funny. Trump actually tweeted a short video this weekend, the president did, by Michael Pillsburg, where he said, globalists live in their own universe, think tariffs are satanic. We're going to get to that here in a moment. But they live in their own universe on so many fronts. But let's now get right into the big issues. I don't want war. I was against the first Iraq war and the second Iraq war and Afghanistan. And I don't want to really go into Venezuela because I don't trust the neocons not to put a puppet in and create a new crisis because they want a strategy of ongoing tension along with the Democrats. I trust the president, though. You have thousands starving to death a week, hundreds being killed. It's a nightmare. It's on our doorstep. It's a problem. So I'd like to see Maduro go. But I don't want to see a U.S. invasion and troops getting killed. But with the case of Iran, We have a country that actually does have terror cells all over the country and all over the world, Hezbollah. And we have a nation that has built up a lot of high-tech weapons since then that's constantly threatening to attack us provocatively, constantly grabbing U.S. ships, grabbing other ships, threatening to close different ports. And this situation is barreling towards confrontation. U.S. sends assault ship missiles to Mideast amid Iran threat. And you've got the dictator, the religious dictator, who's very unpopular over Iran. They've got international polls where 70%+ of folks don't want to be under their system. Saying, don't worry, we'll blow all these U.S. ships up. They're not a threat. They're a target. And just really asking for it. So Iran commander calls U.S. military in Gulf a target, not a threat. And see, here's the problem. If we let Iran get deployable nuclear weapons, they already have atomic weapons. It's been known for a decade. If they get delivery systems, then everybody else is going to demand them in the region, just like India and Pakistan. And the world is that much closer to nuclear war. So think about that. And most analysts believe a nuclear war breaks out between India and Pakistan. So that's just some of what we're dealing with here. Iran commander calls U.S. military in Gulf a target, not a threat. So think about that. That's where we are as a country. While we have the Democrats working against our national interest internally, we have Hollywood trying to demoralize the nation. While we have all these socialist and communist countries collapsing around us, while we have over 10,000 people a day smashing over the border, while we have every blue city and Democrat-controlled state going bankrupt with mass exoduses out of their own areas, we're told, though, that socialism and globalism are the answers. And we're told that China can have all these internal taxation and regulatory systems against us to make it prohibitive for them to buy any of our goods. And we're told that a $900 billion a year trade deficit is a good thing. And then Trump just simply says, give us a few hundred billion cut off of that. Stop demanding that U.S. companies that move to China, transfer all of our technology that U.S. taxpayers paid to develop via DARPA. That's where almost all of it comes from. Pure research. Companies won't do that in most cases. And we'll leave it like it is. But they go, no, we're going to finance Hollywood with a bunch of America-hating garbage. That's who owns Hollywood now, the communist Chinese. We're going to buy up your debt and try to control you. That's who owns the majority of our debts, the private Chi-Coms. And they say, we're going to demoralize you and run you in the ground, and we're not going to give you crap. And we're going to piss in your face. Even though 60 years ago, 90%+ of our country didn't have electricity or running water, and you built us up and you did this and you saved us from the Japanese, we don't care. Because Harvard and the Rockefellers came over here and set us up and told us we were the elite, we were the Ubermenschen, we were the supermen, we were going to have the Chinese century, and we're in the Chinese century now. So you crawl in your holes and you die. And you teach your five-year-old boy, he's a little girl. And you teach your five-year-old girl, she's a little boy. And you teach your son how to give a blowjob. That's what China funds. And I have articles today where China executes people that do that there. And Cuba is banning gay parades. And you know what Cuba says? They said, we don't allow it. It's meant to demoralize and collapse our civilization. And they know because they're financing it here. And again, I'm a libertarian. I'm not attacking anybody before they live their lives. But targeting kids is evil and pedophilia, period. And that's what the left does. So just remember, that's what we're dealing with here. War with China has already begun. It's economic, it's cultural. Trump is just putting up a basic moderate defense. And their answer is no. We own you. We run you. Bow to us. Well, guess what? You're weak, China. You're going to fall. You're about to get it.
You You're listening to The Antidote for Fake News. It's Alex Jones.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into the heart of me. The love we share seems to go nowhere.
But the problem is, every time I gotta just back off, globalists come and try to destroy my life. So I guess they're going to get a fight now. No holds barred. You can feel the global engineers realizing humanity's awakening and they're panicking. They don't know what to do. I want to get back into China. I want to get back into the situation with the globalists trying to collapse our borders, the situation with Iran. All of this is designed to test the president. Remember Hillary and Joe Biden? And Michael Moore and all the usual suspects, when Trump was being inaugurated, they said, even if Russiagate doesn't take him out, which it will because he's a Russian agent, we have the intel, we've been spying on him. Remember they admitted all that and later said they didn't? They said there's going to be international crises that he's not going to be able to dial back. Well, Trump dialed back North Korea to a great extent, still a big problem. He didn't create it. We didn't create it. Communism and evil did. And the fact that MacArthur wasn't allowed to finish them back when the president at that time allowed the Chi-Coms to attack us 10 to 1, and then they relieved, Harry Truman relieved of command MacArthur. But so I guess it kind of is our problem for not following through, but the point is that the globalists have created a worldwide strategy of tension. They admit they try to create bad countries, dysfunctional systems, so that then big multinational corporations can exploit those countries and control them. And Trump does not believe in that type of politics. And in more than 60 years, we have not had an establishment that thinks the way Trump thinks. About 60 years ago, they began to phase out the pragmatists and the real nation builders and really what made America the apple of the eye, and people saw us as good guys. Because if we took you over, we'd leave and you'd be in a better position. Hell, look at Japan. Look at China after World War II. But that all changed in the last 55, 60 years. It began to convert over to globalism, where you look at the IMF, the World Bank, these big banks that control the U.S., when they come in and give you a loan, they pay the politicians off to never pay it back to make sure a billion-dollar Nigerian loan ends up being $100 billion you owe. Or if it's a Guatemalan, half a billion-dollar loan, they end up paying back $10 billion. The politician runs off with the money. It's agreed to up front. A microcosm of that, or a modern example, would be Gaddafi. 8 years before they kill him, Obama gets in, says, I want to work with you, invest with the West, decry all the stuff you've done, we'll work with you. Gaddafi opens up everything, brings in the United States and the West, invest all his money in the West. They totally encircle him, set him up, bring in Al-Qaeda to overthrow him and kill him. And then Hillary makes a bunch of sick jokes about she came, she saw, he died. But she tells people in New Hampshire last week, they say I'm a murderer, it's fake news. Give me a break. So again, they want a strategy of dysfunction. Look at Hollywood. Look at what's taught in the schools. Look at what's in the WikiLeaks. They admit they want you dumb, desperate, and dysfunctional. Remember what Sean Parker, one of the co-founders of Facebook, said last year? He said, we designed it 15 years ago to make you depressed, to make you stupid, to make you alone, to play on your weaknesses. And he said, I thought it was immoral then, but I still did it to dominate. He said, what they're doing now is hundreds of times worse. There it is. He says, we exploit your psychological vulnerability. Ladies and gentlemen, 60 years ago, our government, and I've studied it, wasn't perfect, but it didn't act like that. because I call it the needle DI-K dimension or the chicken SH-T dimension. People, men and leaders were strong back then. And they believed America was dominant, and they believed in the West. And, you know, you could call it the burden of the West or whatever, but there really wasn't a real exploitation of the third world in places. There was a real attempt in most cases to build people up. And that all just went out the window with the modern liberal system. Because they tell themselves they're liberal. They tell everybody how they're doing it for this great moral reason when they always ally with the most bloodthirsty killers the planet's ever seen. But because they know what Rudyard Kipling wrote about, the white man's burden, because they know ingrained in Western leaders is a guilt about cultural historical superiority. Because if you don't have that guilt, you become the Nazis and start killing everybody. So, okay, we're not going to be social Darwinists because we're dominant. We're not going to kill everybody. We're going to help everybody. Well, then we get infected with globalism that takes control of us. It's predatory, but it's telling us we've got to do what it says or we're predators. But in truth, they're predators. And so they tell the West, you're evil because you're white. Now let's get rid of the West. When inherently the West ended slavery, inherently the West empowered women, inherently the West didn't kill gays. But you notice the left doesn't care about China executing gays. It doesn't care about Cuba arresting and banning any display of homosexual activity. That's in the news today. They love it. They don't care. It's not a. They love radical Islam. The West funded, the Democrats, the left, Silicon Valley funded the Arab Spring to put women into sex slavery and dislodge millions of refugees and kill hundreds of thousands because they're taking down the West. And the left is not the West. The left is a miscreant, mercenary virus here to manipulate those of us that have a conscience into giving full control to them. Now, I haven't gotten to clips yet. I've got a bunch of them. And I'm going to get to some of these when we come back. But Trump tweeted this out. Globalists live in their own universe, think tariffs are satanic. No, what they think is Western countries not selling out their wealth to Western globalists that have made deals with China, Mexico, India, and others. That's a no-no. Because just like in England or any blue city in the U.S., if you protect yourself from someone raping your wife who has a weapon and you hurt them, you go to prison, they go free. Because the great sin is the prey no longer being the prey and defending themselves. So we're going to finish up with China and the trade battle and the fact that Trump is doing an overall great job and the fact that it scares the globalists because they were just a bunch of managers managing the carving up and sell-off of the West. And here comes Trump, his foot in the door. Here comes InfoWars. Here comes you, the audience, with your foot in the door, and saying, not so fast. We have rights.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command.
The co-founders of Facebook says that the company is un-American and the government should break it up into several smaller companies because Mark Zuckerberg not only controls Facebook, but he also owns Instagram and WhatsApp, the popular text messaging app.
Well, the Facebook that exists today is not the Facebook that we founded in 2004. And the one that we have today, I think, is far too big. It's It's far too powerful. And most importantly, its CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, is not accountable.
This is Chris Hughes, and he was Mark Zuckerberg's roommate in college and one of several co-founders. Not the one that Zuckerberg tried to completely screw over, though. That was Eduardo Saverin, as depicted in the movie The Social Network. But now this guy just wrote an op-ed in the New York Times and is doing interviews denouncing Zuckerberg and the gigantic monopoly that he controls. I've been warning about what Facebook would become for over 10 years, and thankfully people are finally starting to wake up because they're seeing people like Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, getting suspended for hate speech for something he posted 2 years ago, because their AI is getting more sophisticated by the day and keeps combing through old posts and found a homophobic remark that he had posted. I mean, Facebook even said so in the Declaration of Independence after their AI detected that it refers to, quote, Indian savages, and that's hate speech too.
In a scathing op-ed in the New York Times, Hughes calls Facebook's dominance a monopoly. More than 6 billion monthly active users across all Facebook properties, dwarfing the competition. Now, Hughes is calling for the government to break up the company, undo Facebook's acquisitions of Instagram and WhatsApp, and create a new regulatory agency. He says Mark Zuckerberg's power is unprecedented and un-American.
When Mark Zuckerberg's college roommate and co-founder of his multi-billion dollar empire is saying that he's a tyrant who needs to be stopped, somebody should probably do something. Meanwhile, Instagram is now going to start fact-checking memes. They're fact-checking memes! The Verge reports in a test starting this week, Instagram will begin sending posts that potentially contain misinformation to the same dashboard currently used by Facebook's fact-checking partners, giving their teams the chance to help limit the spread of hoaxes on Instagram with no change to the workflow they are already familiar with. I wasn't kidding, they're going to start fact-checking memes. I'm sure that we can trust the same moderators that took down this Jussie Smollett Scooby-Doo meme from my Instagram account and said that it violated the community standards. Your post has been deleted, they say, and they blur it out in the notification they give you. They don't even want you to really see the post that they took down. But obviously you can see that's the one that it was. We want to keep Instagram a safe place for everyone, and we ask that you treat other members of the community with respect, it says. We remove content that targets private individuals to degrade or shame them. Jussie Smollett's a public figure, you morons. Previously, they had also censored this viral CNN meme, saying that it, too, violated the community standards. But the Orwellian nightmare is getting even worse. Microsoft is upgrading Microsoft Word so that it will detect offensive words in your documents that you have typed. Although Word already corrects misspelled words and suggests changes to your grammar, it's going to go a bit further. It will look more closely at your language, suggesting more appropriate words. Also looks at your language to make sure that it's appropriately gender inclusive. No thank you, Microsoft. I like my writing style just as it is. CNN is still celebrating the latest round of Facebook censorship and calling for more, of course.
All right, Facebook kicked some people off over the last several days. Awful.
Oh, horrible. I mean, conspiracy, they're just the most disgusting conspiracy theorists.
This is what the president has said about this move. He stuck up for these people. I am continuing to monitor the censorship of American citizens on social media platforms. This is the United States of America, and we have shown what's known as freedom of speech. We are monitoring and watching closely. Joe, what message does that send when the president is protecting InfoWars?
Well, it says that the president is trying to protect the First Amendment, sir. I know it's been a long time since we've had one with that kind of integrity, so it comes as quite a surprise to you. But MSNBC is assuring Americans that there's no anti-conservative bias at all in the big tech companies.
It's conspiracy theories about, you know, sort of anti-conservative bias, which I can assure you, at global companies operating at the scale of a company like Facebook, just quite honestly do not exist.
It's just a conspiracy theory, guys. It's all in your imagination.
So it's been a week since I was declared a dangerous person and kicked off Facebook. Boo-hoo. But think about how totalitarian this is. Mark Zuckerberg is literally telling 2.4 billion people, a third of the Earth's population, what opinions they can and can't hold. They've actually instituted a new policy on Facebook where talking about me, unless you're denouncing me, is verboten. There have even been reports that photos of myself and other banned thought criminals, even when the faces are blurred, are being removed. Just like old Uncle Joe had his enemies airbrushed out of history. Hey, at least during the 2 minutes of hate in 1984, the citizens of Oceania could at least see Goldstein's face. Zuckerberg is literally copying Stalinist Russia. Think that sounds like hyperbole? No. This is Samizdat for the 21st century. Samizdat was a form of dissident activity to avoid Soviet censorship. Dissidents reproduced censored material at great risk to themselves because, much like Facebook controls the majority of online discourse, copy machines, printing presses, and typewriters were all controlled by the KGB. The KGB enjoyed a monopoly, so they were able to monitor and manipulate public discourse, just like Facebook's monopoly allows it to monitor and manipulate public discourse. So eventually, dissidents had to produce handmade carbon copies of information, much like we're having to create our own social media networks simply to reach any kind of audience. When individuals were caught reading or transporting banned Samizdat materials, they were hit with harsh punishment. Some were sent to gulags, just as I've been dispatched to the digital gulag. As may you be if you share my banned Samizdat material on Facebook. And just like yours truly, to prevent other citizens from embracing their ideas, Samizdat dissidents were put on show trials and declared dangerous persons. And listen, I'm not putting myself in the same context as historical dissidents who suffered torture and incarceration, but I am putting Comrade Zuckerberg in the same context as authoritarian, narcissistic despots who created power monopolies to crush dissent. And just like the fictional thought police in Orwell's 1984, we've handed organized outrage mobs the power to remove people from society. There's no future for dissident voices on social media. Everything edgy, daring, or mischievous will be cleansed. We're gonna have to go back to old school methods like mailing lists and websites. Bookmark summit.news right now and sign up for the free newsletter there. You can also follow me on Telegram, link in description. Oh, the irony of a platform owned by Russians being one of the last sanctuaries for freedom of speech.
But Facebook's a private company, it can do what it likes.
Oh wow, leftists suddenly did a 180 and started believing there should be no regulation of big corporations right at around the same time that big corporations started silencing their political opposition. What a coincidence! Because giving a billionaire oligarch monopolist the power to decide who has free speech and what opinions you can express
is progressive!
If you value my message, if you don't want to see it silenced, I need your support. I've created a Subscribestar, which is linked in the description below. Unlike Patreon, Subscribestar is run by people who actually support free speech, so it's never going to be deplatformed.
And folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us with big breaking news. Welcome back. I'm Alex Jones, your host. It's Mother's Day, Sunday, 12th day of May, 2019. I said I wasn't getting into censorship towards the end of the show. I said I wasn't going to get into it till the end of the show. But I had some family calls come in during that last break that were important. So I went to those two different reports you just saw that deal with the censorship. So thanks for staying with us. Again, I am live. You just saw that report from Paul Joseph Watson, also one from Mark Dice. This whole censorship is about stealing the election ahead of 2020 from Trump and other populist candidates around the world. That's all this is. Big tech and their own internal admissions and their own leaks admit all this. That's what's so insulting. But getting back to Trump, the Democrats and the globalists and other anti-American collaborators don't know what to do. Because all over the world, people understand that China is the most authoritarian country to ever exist on this planet by leaps and bounds. I don't have to repeat the number out there, but The Chi-Coms have killed five times the number of their own people that Hitler did. And Hitler's bad. Hitler was real bad. Five times. You know, Hitler is in third place for killing people. Chi-Coms, Russian communist, then Hitler. Third place. Third place. Now, notice the weird groups that are pro-Soviet and pro-Hitler that think they're rebellious go, well, the United States dropped atomic bombs on people and bombed cities and did all this. Yeah, because we were getting our ass kicked at first and we were dealing with super evil that was about to get nuclear weapons and we had to beat them decisively. That's what happens when you're in a fight for your life. You start pulling all of the governors away. You stop holding back. And see, the left thinks Trump getting elected and all this Americana talk and the economy coming back, that pisses them off. They want to break the economy, Cloward and Piven. It's their official strategy. And so they're so afraid to see us coming back, they just gives them a headache and they don't know what to do. And that's why we're in this situation we're in right now. So, yes, the threat of war with Iran is very, very high. Iran commander calls U.S. military Gulf a target, not a threat. Very stupid to do that. Meanwhile, U.S. warns merchant ships of possible Iranian attacks. Cleric threatens U.S. fleet. U.S. sends assault ship missiles to Mideast amid Iran threat. Pentagon deploying Patriot battery to Middle East to further deter Iranian threat. Meanwhile, Cuba launches rationing in the face of their own crisis. That's just some of the news unfolding on that front as all these authoritarian regimes circle the toilet bowl. I have several clips I want to play. TV viewers will obviously be able to see these. Radio listeners will be able to hear them. But here's that clip I was mentioning earlier. I want to play a clip out of Iran of women taking off their hijabs. Some of these videos are getting censored by Facebook and by Twitter. And Linda Sorcerer, that leads Soros' so-called Women March right into the arms of radical Islam and all the fun things it does, she says the women are troublemakers and should keep their hijabs on. That's right. Women should wear hoods over their heads and not stand out in the street with the threat of arrest, torture, or even killing. How dare those women not wear hoods over their heads? We're liberal women in America, and we say to women in the Middle East, you can't drive cars. You're going to wear hoods over your heads. Allah Akbar. But here's Michael Pillsburg, globalists live in their own universe. Here it is.
It is stunning to me. The reaction by Wall Street to tariffs, as if they were some sort of sophomores operating in an economics class. it's some university quite distant. I mean, it's as if they don't comprehend what these deficits mean, that they don't realize yes. that they cut into economic growth, that they reduce our rate of growth.
Well, as you've said many times, I think that globalists live in their own universe. And in their universe, the tariffs are satanic. And as you know very well, the president today said something quite cute, I thought, about Obama, that he let the Chinese get away with murder. So in a way, Lou, we've got to feel sorry for the Chinese. They've been misled by the globalists and by President Obama that this day would never come. But actually, it's a great day. This is a major blow to Chinese aggression. They're going to think it over now. And I think Mnuchin might be right. They give them 3 or 4 weeks, you know, to see the tariffs begin to take effect. And then we'll see if they come back. I don't think we should go running over to Beijing ourselves with our next delegation. I think this 12th round of the talks should be back here in Washington, D.C. again.
Now, the president tweeted that out. It's got to really frustrate the New York Times, the Washington Post, that say if you're pro-America, you're a racist or you're anti-Semitic. What does that have to do with it? Everybody knows Trump's pro-Israel. So am I. But you can pull up the London Guardian, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Atlantic Monthly, and more stuff than I can read just the last few days saying Alex Jones is an anti-Semite. Why does Nigel Farage go on his show? Nigel Farage, whose party is about to be the majority party in the EU Parliament, which is an anti-EU party. No one buys into this crap anymore. The globalists call themselves globalists. They're not Jews. They're not Chinese. They're not German. They're not Mexican. They're people of every group working to transfer national power to unelected multinational groups. Hillary helped write all these multinational agreements to transfer power out of our country to these groups. They call themselves globalists. So they're trying everywhere to say, you know, Alex Jones says that dog whistle for Jews, globalism. Really? Benjamin Netanyahu's against globalism. And so The Economist, that's a globalist publication, tried to get him out of power and failed. Globalists are getting their ass kicked. Globalists are multinational corporations that are tax exempt, that work with authoritarian regimes like the EU and China, and collaborators like Hollywood to piss all over countries and deprive and rip off the populations. Any smart leader would want to take care of their people and be prosperous, and that's where their kids live, and everybody live together. Whether you're Russian, or whether you're Israeli, or whether you're American, or whether you're Japanese, or whether you're Mexican, this has nothing to do with Jews. And the white supremacists flip out when I say that because most of them are financed by the Southern Poverty Law Center. They've been caught running most of the white supremacist groups, and they've been caught staging all these events and, you know, funding the white supremacist marches so that they can project that onto that. Think about that. We say we want America to make its own laws and not have China have all these internal tariffs against our goods, and have us with a $500 billion trade deficit and a $400 billion stolen technology deficit, $900 billion a year total. And we just say that's not fair. And the New York Times and the Washington Post say, why are you hating on Jews? They're the ones introducing Jews. Just like Pepe the Frog was this popular sign of rebellion just because it was silly, against Hillary had nothing to do with white supremacists. And Hillary came out and said, and that frog, in the same speech she attacked me, that frog's a white supremacist. It became a huge joke, like the OK symbol. It's a joke about the left. Then I got sued for making the frog white supremacist. We're, by the way, winning that court case right now. I didn't settle it. Settle it for $14,000. How about I spend $1 million and defeat you? Because that's how this works. No more backing down. No more. No more. Because I never run white flags up. But I thought used to, like, oh, we know you didn't say Sandy Hook was staged all the time. And we know you didn't create that. And we know you have a right to say it. But just say you're sorry because you think it happened. Once I looked into it, thought it happened. And then as soon as I said I thought it happened, that's when all hell broke loose. Because they think it's a white flag. No, no, no. No white flags. No here. Black flags. Black flags. We don't have a skull on our black flag. We just have a black flag. In fact, we have an InfoWars flag we sell in the store. I never even plug. It's a black flag. You know what black flags mean? It means no surrender. So if I have a symbol, it's a black flag. And it means no surrender. Now, a skull means we don't surrender. And when we win, we kill you. Now, if there's blood dripping out of the skull, that means we torture you. I don't play by those rules. We don't have a skull on our flag. It's just solid black, and it's flapping in the wind, and I know it scares you. No surrender. Death before dishonor. Victory or death. Live free or die. Infowarsstore.com. I didn't plug this whole time. Bunch of big sales are about to end. Incredible t-shirts. We need your financial support to fight the globalist. Infowarsstore.com.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Sports folks that are about to do a long jump or a power lift, they envision themselves as incredibly powerful and invincible. and hypnotize themselves into that archetype to be able to do things most people can never imagine. I don't do what I do out of power trips. Never have, never will. I do it because of the long-term vision of freedom and knowing that it's going to be more popular and work better than models of tyranny. But I do like do the archetype of Godzilla cheesily in that plastic suit with all the little tanks, you know, shooting at him and everything. And he's like tearing down the system. And I just kind of think about that. That's kind of my archetype and my job. But it's more of a joke. But that's how the Democrats see me, is like Godzilla coming in and attacking them. And they just don't know what to do. So let's go ahead from the start again if we can play it. Let's play some Blue Oyster Cult here for folks. Here it is. Didn't know that Blue Oyster Cult sounded so good. I actually like that. Godzilla dancing to Depeche Mode. Crank it up, yeah. Better learn your lesson well. Yeah. Comes InfoWars, baby. Getting Trump into office. Woo! The part about Godzilla is he always gets back up. Never gives in, never gives up. Sometimes he gives out, though. The left sees us, folks. He picks up a bus and he throws it back. You know, the left's so brainwashed. Now that I've blown up at them at four or five restaurants, when they get in my face, now none of them will get up and do it anymore. Yeah, I'm not Ted Cruz. I'm not Mr. Tough either, but you know, come over and tell me I'm going to F and kill you and spit on the back of my head or whatever. I'm going to get up and say, all right, let's go. Yeah, there goes Hillary. Oh, no. There goes 2016. That's right, baby. My spirit animal's Godzilla. Gotta love it. And not the modern one. The goofy one. Oh, yeah. They say he's got to go. Ban him, remove him, mute him, just get rid of him. There goes liberal toe. Woo! Hey, I'm not feeling sorry for myself, but I got some really bad family stuff going on right now. And I'm staying here and doing the show, but I'm having trouble focusing. So we'll see how this turns out on the other side. It won't do any good if I go off air right now, so I just got to sit here for the next hour, finish up, and then see what's going to happen. Yeah, there's Trump's Godzilla. Exactly. They got it. The Godzilla frequency. Woo! Some good music video we just created. The Alex Jones Godzilla music video. Woo! Banned on every major platform in the world. But InfoWars.com. I'm going to reset. We'll be right back in T-minus 60 Earth time seconds. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Now you're standing there, tongue tied.
Tell what you've got
to tell. Tell what you have to tell. You'll see your problems multiply if you continually decide to faithfully pursue the policy
podcast, The Policy of Truth. That's all we do. A lot of folks got OCD to clean their pool every day or keep the refrigerator clean or have their car perfect or have their shirts all folded just right. Not me. I got OCD telling the truth. I do. I really have it. I just can't help but do it. I could run circles around the establishment and Machiavellian lies of deception, but see, I don't do it, but I do expose it, and that's why they hate it. Now, this is an important little clip I want to get to here, because it really illustrates a lot. Now, we've played this clip before. We have a new clip that's going to go with it in a moment, but this is AOC, the goddess, the deliverer, the Moses of free healthcare, free college, free housing, free jobs. She said in her Green Deal, you can work even if you get a paycheck, even if you don't want to work, and all this other free stuff. So much free stuff, I can't even remember it all. Reparations, just you name it, it's free. People said, well, where's it come from? It's free. She said, it's just going to be free. We're just going to do it. Well, that means somebody's going to be a slave. Because if somebody over here don't have to work and everybody else gets all this free stuff, well, who's going to pay? Oh, like almost everybody I know in my family who paid their taxes, who the IRS at one time or another tried to take their house. How about that? Oh, but it's all free. But remember, she said the world's going to end in 12 years if we don't pay them all the carbon tax. And everybody keeps pointing out, hey, they fly on private jets. They drive SUVs. She gets caught eating hamburgers when she says you shouldn't eat them. Don't you get it? They're not getting rid of airplanes and hamburgers. They're going to put a tax on them that they get the money from. That's all this is. She knows damn well it's a lie. She's going to guilt you about that hamburger, about that hot dog. That's all that is. You know, in some European countries, they torture the hell out of milk cows. They shove big old giant tubes up their butt so that all the gas gets caught because they say methane's bad, as if there hadn't been bovine all over the world forever. You know, cows are just domesticated water buffalo. There's giant herds of them everywhere, from Russia to Africa. We used to have them here. We killed them all. There were species of, 9, 10 different species of buffalo everywhere. There were probably more buffalo than there are cows now. There were cows all over the damn world. They just weren't domesticated. They were meaner than hell, but they were still cows. So she wants the same thing Canada and Norway and Sweden are doing, where they chain these cows up and shove a big tube up their ass. I'm not kidding. And they collect the farts because they say it's hurting the earth. Not toxic waste, not GMO, not genetically edited babies, not paying to have millions of kids change their sex and take deadly hormones. AOC says the world's ending, and Beto says the world's ending unless you do exactly what they say. Let me give you a newsflash. Yeah, there's examples. Yeah, they have cows that are free range with the damn tubes up their ass. And I'm sorry to talk like that, but this is torturing these animals, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah. Oh, a cow out there, the left wants to cut trees down because they create carbon too. You know, sunshine, water, carbon dioxide, oxygen, that's the life cycle. Got to have those four things. Daisy's like, will you please get this giant rubber hose out of my rear end? This is really going on. So here they are. If you're ever in a church or anywhere and they tell you, do what we say or the world's going to end in 5 years or 12 years, you're in a cult. You need to run to the exits, okay? And that's what the Democratic Party is a cult. So let's play that clip before I play the latest with our reporter in New York. Here it is.
I think that the part of it that is generational is that millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up, and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is your biggest issue is, how are we going to pay for it?
Yeah, let's just shove rubber hoses up cow's asses.
This is the war. This is our World War II. And
I want to make sure that those who work in the oil and gas industry, those who work in the fossil fuel industry are brought along as partners to make sure that we make this transition in the 10 years that we have left to us, as the science and scientists tell us, to make the kind of bold change that we need.
Now, that's a powerful clip he just played. See if you can find the other one. No, it's him at night in a brick building. And he's like, the world's ending in 12 years. The point is, he just said it again. Now, that's cult level. Now, the guys were able to find it. But, I mean, I could show you hundreds of articles in at least six countries I know of where under a law, they shove big giant rubber hoses up the rear ends of cows because their farts are evil. You're like, that's crazy. Of course it's crazy. Cults make you do crazy things. The Marine Corps is a cult. It's a cult of death to win wars. So they make you do stupid chants and do stupid things to see if you'll do it. Okay, we permit that for war, and it's limited. It's still a cult. It's our cult. We've got the left coming in here with cults that don't have you masturbating with your rifle, so it becomes part of your body. Little secret Marine Corps thing. They have you shoving tubes up cow's butts. They have you thinking the world's ending in 12 years. The Marines have you believing we're going to adapt and overcome. We're going to win. We're going to live forever. Even though we die, humanity goes on. They're telling you humanity's crap. Humanity's going down the tubes. Humanity's dead. It's over. No, it's not. But let me get to the first few minutes of a 14-minute report up on InfoWars.com. New Yorkers accept banning of hot dogs to save the earth. And this isn't just cherry picking. 95% of them say ban hot dogs to save the earth. Here it is.
So Mayor de Blasio, he's the mayor of New York City. Uh-huh. He wants to ban hot dogs to fight climate change.
Right.
Does that make sense?
I mean, would I give hot dogs away for climate security? Yes.
You think politicians know what's best for you?
Well, hold on.
100%.
Again, she gets a hot dog. Your radio listener, I'm narrating this. And she goes around and she talked to like 50 people, and two dudes were against it. Everybody else was like, yes, the government's right, ban hot dogs. Continue.
This costs $5. We're here in New York City where the mayor, Bill de Blasio, wants to ban hot dogs to fight climate change. Let's see what people think. The mayor of New York City wants to ban hot dogs to fight climate change. What do you think?
That's great.
Yeah, you think it'll fix all the problems?
Wait, what climate?
Yeah, he wants to ban hot dogs to fight climate change. What do you think?
How does that work?
I don't know. What do you think?
We need hot dogs, I guess. I don't know food.
Do you know how much this costs me?
A dollar?
$5.
Without a drink?
Yeah.
We're banning hot dogs.
Let's ban hot dogs as it costs $5. There we go. All right. What can we do to fight climate change in New York City?
No more hot dogs.
Should we ban hot dogs to fight climate change?
No.
Why not?
Because they taste good.
Want to ban hot dogs to save the earth?
I think it's kind of pointless, you know.
Live wire. Let me read you a story here. It's just a bird's eye view into the real world. I remember back in 1996, before the internet really was anything at all, before streaming video, before anybody was really even trying to stream audio, we were doing it, the audio. And I remember opening the mail down at the radio station where I just started the show. It had become number one in just months in the city. But I was putting out over shortwave. I was putting out over satellite. The kind of little arrogant managers, because the guy that hired me was cool, but he left and went on. He'd managed like CBS Nationwide, Z-Rock. So he thought, oh, this guy will be great. Give him a show. He'll be on weekdays soon. This guy's a real talent. But he left. He went on to manage other stuff. And then all these weirdos that had never done anything were running it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm on like 20 stations now. And we're on satellite and shortwave over that ISDN line I paid to put in here. And they're like, oh, yeah, kid. We let you put in an ISDN line and stuff. And sure, you're on other stations and satellite and shortwave. And then we get more and more jealous as we had top ratings. But I remember getting the mail, sometimes thousands of letters a week. So they started getting upset at the radio station. And they were getting piles, usually about 100 letters, sometimes 1,000. And I'll never forget opening up a newspaper clipping of an Associated Press article in a paper. And it said, Al Gore's refrigerator of blood spills on tarmac. And somebody on a LexisNexis that or find it or Thomson's Reuters or something. And I covered it and it said he carried with him a little refrigerator full of blood and that he did it because he got routine blood transfusions for his health. Now, I went on air and I covered that. And then I talked to some medical doctors I knew that had worked at the Air Force. And I'll just leave it at that, in the Skunk's Works. And they said, listen, vampirism's real. It's a mental illness that happened all over the world. They also had basically skinwalkers that Native Americans believed in. But it was really when their own shaman would go crazy and become like vampires and lust after blood. It's like Pet Cemetery is an allegory of that. Even Stephen King admits the supposed burial ground where they're burying the cats and dogs. It's fiction. I'm not saying that's real. It would be, what's the term they use up in the Northwest for somebody's turned into basically a vampire? I forget the exact term. But the point is that there's a real psychological designation that they had at Native American reservations where a certain number of people would go crazy and demand human blood. And if you wouldn't give it to them, they'd run off in the woods and come back emaciated 6 months later trying to kill you to get your blood. I didn't mean to go here today. I just saw this in the stack of news, so I thought I would mention it. And when I went on those 20-something stations in shortwave in 1996 and talked about that AP article and Al Gore with a refrigerator they carried around behind him full of blood for blood transfusions, man, they got calls. They threatened to fire me. They said it was a conspiracy. They got pissed. That's when I first got on the Clintons' radar. But why did AP report on the refrigerator of blood? I don't know. So years later, I learned that rich people I knew were like, oh, that's no big deal. We all go get blood transfusions. And a lot of people put money in their college fund. And I go, what do you mean? Well, we need the blood, preferably prepubescent, below the age of 13. And in some jurisdictions, they have special doctors that allow the blood of children. But it's okay. It's healthy. And the kids can raise up to $500 per deal. And Alex, you really ought to try the blood, Alex. The blood. And these are people, that I know that are like conservatives. And I'm like, the blood. I won't be trying that. Not to mention, I don't want somebody else's blood in me anyways. My God, my wife spit in my mouth enough. You know what I mean? So, humans biohacking their own bodies with blood transfusions to achieve immortality. little immortality, DIY immortality. The point is, this is widespread now. And so if you're under 18, you know, it was 500 15 years ago. But it's like, if you're under 18, it's $1,000 a pint. Man, if you've got the weird deals and your parents take you, it's thousands if you're a little kid. There are people everywhere paying for children's blood to be run into their veins. And this has been going on forever. And Al Gore is following around. You look at him, he's a big swollen vampire. You can see him. Adrenochrome, yeah. You can see this big swollen demon that is this big vampire bat. I mean, you know Kim Jong-un's getting them. And you just look at him. By the way, scroll down on the InfoWars article for TV viewers. They took down the fan site we had that even had the adrenochrome. I guess somebody's got a backup there. By the way, adrenochrome is in the encyclopedia. Adrenochrome is a real drug from people's adrenal glands. The Clintons actually own part of the company that puts it out. They're addicts, folks. Blood addicts. And in a child's blood is growth hormone and all these growth factors and all this stuff. And so we sit here and we talk about this all day. I know this show sounds crazy. I know the show sounds weird. I'm not the one. I'm not a great writer. I'm not a science fiction genius. They've got all these leftist sites that go, Jones is the greatest entertainer of the century, though. And you've got to admit the stuff he comes up with is just unbelievable. He's better than Stephen King. No. You open the mail, and he's got a refrigerator that fell down with a bunch of blood in it. I didn't write that. See, truth's stranger than fiction. Like if I told you in 2019, most women's sports at the highest collegiate and even Olympic level is now being contended for or won by men who say they're women. They have different blood, they have different bones, different muscles, they have a different brain, different heart. It's all twice as strong as a woman. But they say that they are a girl, so they do. So, see, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit to this evil because we have acquiesced to anything. So the biggest boom economy in America now is children's blood injected into rich people's veins. I told you this 20 years ago. Stay with us.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones, live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide from the InfoWars.com studios.
Okay. As often happens, we've done a pretty good broadcast the last hour and a half. Sunday's only 2 hours long. And I haven't gotten into 10% of what I got prepared for. I mean, I've got a lot of preparation here. But you know what? I'm going to throw it all to the side right now. Because I just want to say this right now. The Bible's real. Jesus Christ is real. And I don't come by that being brainwashed in some establishment church. I come by that by experiencing how the world really works and how the enemy hates Christians and who the enemy really works for. Because when you actually read the Bible, it's not what you get from mainline churches or Hollywood. It's something completely different. It's a roadmap of how the world really works. And if you actually follow it, you've got a roadmap to what they're going to try on you, and you've basically got the playbook. You don't have to steal the playbook like the Patriots do to win. Of course, everybody does it. I'm not defending it. They're just the best at it. You don't have to, you know, say everybody was cheating like Lance Armstrong. He was just the best at it. I'm not defending that either. But God gave us a cheat sheet here. And you know, you're growing up and you hear, oh, there's a devil and he wants to kill you and he wants to steal from you and he wants to hurt children. And the devil's obsessed with corrupting or killing children. And you're like looking at yourself and you're like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't believe that kind of person exists. In fact, there was a clip I was going to play on Friday. Can you guys give me Friday's video list? I saw like some NBC or ABC clip of a serial killer who would just climb in little girls' windows at nights and slit their throats. And I remember hearing about it in the 90s. And people ask, like, how can there be evil? Because, yeah, that's it. I need the printout, though, because I want to get his name in the background if you can. Thanks. He finally got executed, I guess, here in Texas. But you ask yourself, how is this going on? Because you don't want to climb in a second-story window and slit little girls' throats. So you don't think that exists because you're not like that. And I really get it. I do. I like feeding puppy dogs, little kitty cats. I like cooking dinner. I like having friends over. I'm a real nice, sweet person. I would never think about hurting anybody. But there are people like that all over the place. And we have to stop being weak. And we got to start being strong. And stop denying that this type of stuff's going on. And we've got to start being willing to get in a fight if we have to. That's all I'm saying. Is that we've got to stop giving in to evil by denying it exists, because it does exist. And listen, I don't say this with pleasure. I have reporters in California and in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, in New York, in Florida, in Texas, in Missouri, in Minnesota. And I've got auxiliary reporters all over the world, in Europe, and you name it. And they'll send in a video of hundreds of people calling for the end of America, the end of Europe, for total communism, for total capitulation to Islam. And I say, did you cut out the smart people? They always say, no, we found none. Or you saw the one. And that's the thing here is, I watch the Millie Weaver and Caitlin Bennett videos. I watch the Will Johnson videos. And they can talk to 50 people. And they might find one that acts like they haven't had a full frontal lobotomy. They say, hey, the mayor wants to ban hot dogs to save the earth. And they go, I think that's a good idea. I mean, what the hell happened to these people? I don't care if they're black. I don't care if they're white. I don't care if they were Hispanic. When I was growing up, nobody bought into the system. Even if you thought the local cop was okay or the local city person, you knew above it was some corruption. You had an instinct. That's an American instinct. Man, it's gone, folks. Why do you think they're censoring all the patriots? Because people don't have an instinct to defend it. So I don't say it with some sense of pleasure that, oh my God, look at these people. But would the globalists, though, see it as a sense of empowerment that the public is so dumbed down, that the public is so enslaved, that the public is so soulless? But I know how the universe works. Even if I was a Machiavellian Satanist, if I'm in this ether with all these other consciousnesses and they're being lowered and destroyed, I can't help but be grabbed by that black hole. But the Satanist doesn't get that. The person that's all about themselves thinks, oh, I found somebody I can rip off and steal from. But you don't get, when you're a thug, let's say, robbing the neighborhood, robbing some houses, carjacking somebody, that you just drove all the property values down, that you just drove everybody out of the city. That's a microcosm of this, you see. Evil doesn't get, an evil person, I describe, as a swimming pool pooper. A lot of the Islamists do this in Europe. They say they're allowed to. It's their culture. They defecate. They don't piss in the pool. They defecate in the pool. Now, you'd think you want to go to a pool yourself, a public pool, so there's people defecating in it. It'll be closed or dirty. But see, they don't have second degree, third degree, fourth degree dimensional thought. It's, I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to take a big old crap right in this pool, and then I'm going to get out and watch everybody horrified by it and giggle and walk off. It doesn't matter if the pool closes. It doesn't matter if I can't come here for a week. I'm going to exercise my little petty power now and not worry about the consequences to myself and others down the road. And that's the essence of evil, is that it's one-dimensional. It's stupid. Take a virus, a cancer virus. They argue, is it alive, is it dead? It's RNA. It goes, plugs into your DNA, programs. Your cell to replicate it. Your body tries to fight against it. But the truth is, it doesn't even have a consciousness. It doesn't care because it doesn't know. You keep trying to reason with it. It's a virus. It's failed information. But it's reprogramming. It's controlling life. It takes it over. And then finally the cell swells up and busts open. 900,000 viruses pour back out and start infecting everything else. That's what they do. And so that's the nature of this. And you try to reason with it. You try to appease it. You try all this SJW Stockholm syndrome crap with it. You don't reason with something come to rewrite you and take you over and kill you. And so you wonder why these people all of a sudden are so dumb. And so because they've given in to a spiritual virus. Now, there's a new suppressed film about to come out in 4 days. We've got the exclusive trailer. We're going to play it when we come back. Please stay with us. You know, for somebody that's always saying, I need your financial support and help, I tend to not even plug sometimes for a whole broadcast the products we sell. But you know what? If folks don't think we need support, it's up to you whether we're going to be here or not, folks. It really comes down to that. Here's a trailer for a new documentary. It's up on newswars.com. It's an important film. We're ready for it. I'll play it. When you're ready for it, just go to newswars.com. Purge victim Laura Loomer featured a new film on censorship. Here it is.
Tonight we present this special report on social media exclusion.
He calls Zuckerberg's power unprecedented and un-American.
Listen, this is not just targeting one side of the political spectrum.
This is the first time that the high court will examine free speech rights and social media.
This is a monopoly. There is no competition. And there's no accountability.
Facebook or Google are not government actors, so the First Amendment does not speak to their conduct.
Certain voices and messages should be excluded from their platforms.
We're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in Kansas anymore.
This is not a lifestyle for people who are weak-minded. I mean, I didn't just get depressed. I felt straight up suicidal.
Very soon, at a time soon, then the relocation of my family will be needed.
I wake up, the first thing I do before I talk to anyone, before I turn on my phone, is go on my YouTube channel and make sure it's still there.
I mean, I lost my job, I lost my social media platforms, I lost my vocation in a sense.
If we don't fight back and if we don't do something soon, I'm worried that we may fall. We may lose what makes this country great, and that is the fact that we have free speech.
The government cannot broadly restrict anything that it might label hate speech, but platforms can if they wish to.
We're talking about YouTube, the second biggest search engine in the world.
The more they try and censor the people who are the alternative, the more frustration there will build against them.
A progressive publisher fears those on the left like her may soon face the very same hurdles as conservatives.
I was used as the straw man. Once the public took the bait, took the hook in their mouth, then everyone else would fall.
We were winning. We're losing.
So there is a link up on Infowars.com, and we're going to show you NewsWars.com. Right there on NewsWars.com. Purge victim Laura Loomer featured in new film on censorship. You Can't Watch This will be released on May 15th. And I guess it was about 6 months ago, I got interviewed by some British filmmakers, one liberal, one conservative, and I got interviewed again a couple months ago by them. And they'd interviewed Tommy Robinson, Paul Joseph Watson, Laura Loomer, and a bunch of other people. And I've seen the film. It's very powerful. It's perfect timing with all the censorship that's going on. And so if you go to NewsWars.com, you can watch the trailer, and then right there in the second paragraph, you can click on You Can't Watch This, which is the name of the film. And that's how people can go find the film and where it's going to be shown. So, again, I've been a little under the weather here and had some family stuff going on today. Probably shouldn't even come into the show tomorrow, but I'll give you this commitment. I'm going to come in here and give you a real broadcast tomorrow, okay? In fact, I'm going to come in here at 5 a.m., and I'm going to plot every minute of the show. I'm going to have it all, instead of everything spread out, I'm going to have everything linear, stacked like this, so we can just go pew, 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 pew. That way. That way. Because I'm the reason this show has problems. It's me. But I'm going to get my act together, and I'm going to get it straight. Because we're going to win, and we're going to defeat these globalists. But anyways, I'm glad to see this film's popping up. It's well done. And I hope that people will go to try to see the film that premieres this Wednesday. You Can't Watch This. And maybe tomorrow, think about this. We may even have a URL for you. Think about that. I bet in 24 hours, I bet I can get a URL. Maybe not. No. News Wars is there. You see how it works? I know about News Wars. I'm not saying that, see. I'm talking about the URL where you see the movie. You Can't Watch This. See that link right there? Just click on that. And then now minimize it and tell me the URL. And I'm about to be literally transferred to Valhalla right now. So let's blow that up. Because I can't read it at that distance. Or maybe just say in my ear what it is. Or we'll just run some Jeopardy music here. This is what it's all about right here, though, isn't it? What it's all about, baby. Because, man, I got a TV way across that room. I can't read that URL. So we're just going to lay back and just roll with it, baby. Just roll with it all. Death of civilization, sexualization of our kids, killing babies after they're born, all of it. Everything's just fun. Everything's nice. Everything's just so cool and fun about it. We just do it. We just lay back. Wow, look at that. You can't watch this.com. Wow. My life just got completed, man. We put a URL on the screen, baby. So, like I said, can we just go back to the page and blow up the URL in the corner? So I can show that to people. I mean, I'm not like, you know, I mean, I'm cool here, whatever, at this point. Go to newswars.com. You can see the first trailer for it. Then you scroll down to the second paragraph. You click, you can't watch this. And then if you just blow up the URL in the corner, we can just show. Can't Dan do that, can you? Can't do that, can you? All right, I'm going to end the show like this for you all, folks. Hope you have a great day out there. Be sure to take your shots, drink your fluoride, and enjoy giving your soul up. Most of you are already dead anyways. Let's end it with a few minutes from this. I'll play this all tomorrow. Inside the Mind of a Murdering Psychopath, ABC. So you just know who's coming for you and your family. Here it is.
The first time I killed somebody, and it was such a rush.
Tommy Lynn Sells, one of the most infamous serial killers in modern history. A man who says he belongs on death row.
I was raised to do time. I wasn't raised to live out there in that world.
Sells was convicted of killing 13-year-old Katie Harris, stabbing her to death in her bedroom.
I like to use a knife. A gun is too violent, too noisy. It just fit my hand well.
And later, he admitted to killing dozens more. So many, he says he can't even keep track.
I'm not Billy the Kid making notches on my holster, so I know it's been a lot.
Addicted to killing is the way he characterized it.
I don't have an on and off switch. I'm just after that drug. I'm after that feeling.
Nightline interviewed Sells on death row in 2010. One of the rare glimpses into the mind of a serial killer.
It's complicated. It's when people enter my life, they get hurt.
Sells is directly linked to over a dozen murders. The drifter's vagrant lifestyle helped him elude police for nearly 15 years as victims turned up from coast to coast.
When you look at me, you know what hate is, because I don't know what love is. Two words I don't like to use is love and sorry, because I'm about hate.
His methods for killing were as random as the people he targeted. He raped many before cutting their throats or beating them. Stabbing others, he strangled some.
A lot of jerking, a lot of movement. It's a physical, you become part of it.
And described it all with seeming detachment from the horrors he caused.
I don't have no feelings.